They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What goes down keeps going down.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I'm not sure investors can see the bottom of this recent stock market freefall. Today, Japan's Nikkei plunged more than 4%, its biggest one-day loss in 2 years. Australian stocks had their worst day in almost 5 years. Jesper Cole with Merrill Lynch says this is still mostly about interest rate hikes in the United States.
Fears of rising interest rates are haunting stock markets globally, and the Japanese market is being hit particularly hard. Today, we had some questions over Bank of Japan Governor Fukui's personal investments that further undermine confidence. But the basic threat is rising interest rates are coming.
Stock traders are worried the rate hikes will trigger a global slowdown in the economy. It was the same story on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow dropped 99 points, almost a percent, to 10,792. The Nasdaq fell for the seventh straight day, off by 2%. The S&P 500 lost more than a percent. A report from the government this morning could make all this worse, or perhaps it'll calm some people down. We'll find out about prices at the wholesale level, a key inflation number. More now from Amy Scott.
Investors will soon find out if their recent jitters are justified. Federal Reserve officials have implied they'll do whatever it takes to combat inflation. That means raising interest rates, and some worry the Fed will go too far and slow down the economy. Analysts estimate that wholesale and consumer prices each rose by 0.2% last month, not including energy and food. Mark Zandi with MoodysEconomy.com says it could be worse.
I'd be very happy if we got 0.2. It would suggest that inflation is certainly up from where it was a year ago, but it's not a problem that's overwhelming and certainly can be solved with, if any increase in interest rates, a very modest increase in rates.
Other analysts are haunted by what happened last month when a higher-than-expected inflation report sent the stock market tumbling. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The first tropical storm of the season, Alberto, is barreling toward Florida. About 20,000 people on the Gulf Coast have been told to evacuate. In Washington today, hundreds of victims of last year's vicious storms are planning to make some noise. They say the government broke its promise to give them money for housing. Eric Neeler reports.
A coalition of groups from New Orleans and the Gulf Coast traveled to Washington this week in a multi-car caravan. They say FEMA wants to stop financial aid to storm victims who still need it. Monique Hardin is co-director of Advocates for Environmental Human Rights.
30,000 people are facing homelessness as a result of this federal action, and these are people who have no other place to go because their homes have been damaged.
Hardin and others will also take their complaints to Capitol Hill. A FEMA spokesman said the agency had found 13,000 households were no longer eligible for financial aid. Many victims could not prove they had a lease or mortgage, or they had family members getting aid in different cities. The protest comes as a federal judge in Houston prepares to hear arguments next week on a lawsuit to force FEMA to keep providing the housing vouchers. In Washington, I'm Eric Neeler for Marketplace.
And you are listening to Marketplace. Brazil plays its first match in the World Cup today. When the five-time champion takes the field, in Brazil, everything will stop. Paula Prado reports from Rio de Janeiro.
Schools, shops, even banks close when the country's trademark yellow jerseys hit the field. But the tournament is also a substantial business opportunity. Retailers have reaped record sales of televisions. Power companies are buying extra electricity to meet the surge in demand. Even the government is taking part. It's investing over $10 million to promote Brazilian products to tournament goers in Germany. That's José Carlos Brunoro, a São Paulo marketing consultant. He says the quadrennial tournament is a unique opportunity to capitalize on Brazil's dominance of the sport. In victories past, Brazilian consumers have registered their pride with massive spending sprees. From Rio de Janeiro, this is Paulo Prada for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
The Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Builds, an opportunity for Lutherans and their communities to support the building of decent homes in partnership with families in need. ThriveandBuilds.com. By Medtronic, partnering with physicians and patients to manage cardiac disease with therapies that diagnose, monitor, and treat heart disorders. More at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Thousands of college students are expected to consolidate their federal loans by the end of this month. That's because July 1st, the government is jacking up the interest rates. College has gotten so expensive that students can't just count on what their parents may have saved up for them. Commentator Jonathan Hobbs gives us a good laugh over that one.
Now that two of my three children have entered the lofty, musty halls of higher learning, they're requiring college tuition. So what's the best way to describe my cash flow situation? Hemorrhaging. That's it. I'm now hemorrhaging cash like an armored truck swerving down a gusty interstate with no back door. Beware, parents. If you think purchasing Huggies and Gerbers was expensive, wait until they go to college. You'll need your own set of pull-ups when you receive that first tuition bill. And by the time they graduate, a dainty jar of Gerber's pureed chicken might be considered a night out. In my case, I decided to pay a professional to formulate a tuition savings plan. I sat across the table from a renowned financial planner, whom I shall refer to as Ralph in order to protect his surviving relatives. I should have done a little more research on Ralph and whoever labeled him renowned. But it was the mid-80s. I had 20 years to invest, and as long as Ralph knew more about tuition planning than Reagan knew about arms sales, I was going to be in the money. Ralph eyeballed me from over his glasses. Are you familiar with inflation? Are you sure you want to see this? The Carter years were over. Inflation was under control. It couldn't be that bad. I had 20 years to plan. Then again, so did the engineers on the Titanic. Don't sugarcoat it, Ralph. He flipped the paper full of numbers across the desk. Well, that's not so bad. It's upside down. Those aren't sixes, they're nines. The figure includes my projection for in-state tuition, room, meal plan, lab fees, and books. Now, if he decides to enroll in a private university... Ralph paused in mid-sentence, looking me over. Never mind. I doubt you have to worry about your descendants attending private school. I looked at the paper. Sure, it was a shock. But it was doable. If I started that day saving $70 a month per child for 18 years, including compound interest, I'd have enough for in-state tuition, housing, and a meal plan. I set up the account, and for the past 2 decades, my wife and I have diligently squirreled away the funds. What Ralph failed to mention was that tuition inflation in this country would rival that of the Zimbabwean dollar. It turns out we've barely saved enough for a mediocre meal plan and a box of number 2 pencils. Worse yet, Ralph passed away. I'll never be able to cause him bodily harm. My son was recently accepted into an excellent in-state university. After much deliberation, I found a solution. I took the money we accumulated, added state scholarships and other various federal grants provided to half-wit parents, and have now strategically positioned myself that once in retirement, my wife and I will only have to work part-time at Walmart. The other day, several letters addressed to my son arrived from the admissions offices of 3 Ivy League private universities. You might say my garbage can is hemorrhaging unopened mail.
Jonathan Hobbs is a freelance writer and airline pilot who lives in South Carolina. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hey, would you want genetically modified crop?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.